Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. The Jason Wildeless edition for one day only. Which means me and the big guy who threw out the first pitch at the Brewers game the other night get to hold it down today. On Wilde and Tausch. A lot of Packers conversation coming your way today, I promise. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Download it today. Wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, live video streaming on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. My name is Jesse Nelson. Normally, I am the producer of this show. Today, I slide over into the host chair. Jason Wilde taking a beat, has the day off today. He'll tell you what he's up to when he returns to the show tomorrow. It's all good stuff. Riley Yauch returns as our Cousin Sub of the Day, producing today's show. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And live from his undisclosed location, where he spent the entire day yesterday facing the music. And I think the reactions are still rolling into Tausch's ceremonial first pitch Tuesday night at the Brewers game. He is the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Jesse. How are you doing this morning? I'm trying to get my video up and rolling here, so hopefully I'll have that. But I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm good. More airtime, more screen time for me. So, you know, I'm okay with this. Take your time getting set on.
Yeah,
video.
I honestly didn't even know Jason was off today. And I didn't. There's a couple things. I must not be looking at the schedule. I don't look at the show sheet often.
No one reads the schedules around here. It's okay.
That's kind of on me. I did not know that. So hopefully you got a lot of good stuff planned.
We do. A lot of good stuff today. A lot of Packers conversation as the Packers get set to visit the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday afternoon in Cleveland. First road contest of the year for the Green Bay Packers. We're going to hear some sound from Jordan Love, among others. Rob Domofsky scheduled to appear at 10:15 with us today. So we will still have a member of the Packers beat on today's show. It's just not Jason Wilde. It'll be Rob Domofsky coming up at 10:15. Plenty to get set for Sunday afternoon's contest. And then, of course, tomorrow we'll spend even more time diving into all things there. But I do want to start with this, Tausch, because we had some guests come into the ESPN Madison office yesterday afternoon. And the first thing they said was, boy, that Tausch first pitch, oof, that was ugly. And I'm listening to other shows throughout the day on ESPN Wisconsin. I mean, obviously, we played the sound from the national show yesterday, getting after you pretty good. This thing is making the waves, your first pitch from Tuesday night. It's the gift that keeps on giving, accumulating views on social media and just growing and growing. How are you doing in the fallout of this whole thing from Tuesday night?
I'm fine. I think I ended up hearing from a lot of people yesterday. Mostly some people asking how I was holding up. And, you know, yeah, I think obviously Tuesday night I sucked. I butchered it. And so I guess the nice thing, if I want, again, I'm trying to stay positive. I did hear from a lot of people I hadn't heard from in a long time. And I said, oh, it's really nice that you reached out on this occasion rather than on another. But yeah, I did not hear. I was on Jim, Matt, and Molly last night, and I had Matt Hamilton, who threw out a good first pitch, kind of go through his process and everything else. And so, yeah, I'm ready for this thing to wind down, I'd say. And hopefully by tomorrow it will wind down and we'll start getting back into normal things. That's what I'm hoping for. Whether or not that happens, I don't know.
844-770-3776 is the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. This is more. 844-770-3776. I didn't even bother putting up the texts that were rolling in yesterday, sharing their reactions to your pitch, but those were rolling in pretty significantly as well. This has gotten to the point, Tausch, where it's not just ESPN Wisconsin hosts, ESPN national personalities. This is also now Brewers executives who are weighing in on your pitch. I don't know if you heard this yesterday. Wisconsin's afternoon news on 620 WTMJ with John McCure. They had the Brewers president of baseball operations, Rick Schlesinger, on. And, you know, he's coming on to talk about playoff tickets and the postseason push and the pursuit of a first-round bye and a number one seed in the National League. And how did the interview start? Riley, go ahead and play this from 620 WTMJ yesterday afternoon.
Rick Schlesinger, the president of baseball operations, is with us live this afternoon. Rick, it's so good always to talk to you. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Happy to be on, John.
Hey, we're going to talk about playoff tickets and the plan and all that stuff in a second. But first, I got to get your comment on something that happened last night. And we're only teasing Mark Tauscher here because he's been talking about it all day over here at our radio stations. Did you see the first pitch last night?
I most certainly did.
I'm sorry about that. Mark Tauscher bounces the ball. I mean, it's like only halfway to home plate when it bounces. Give us your take on the Mark Tauscher first pitch.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to watch that and not think what the heck was going on because, you know, I guess he picked the right sport because he was a great football player. But, yeah, that was something. I did not expect that. I just cringed for him. But his defense, he tried to do the best he can with some little cricket analogy there. It doesn't work for me. That was just an awful throw. I think he's got to own it. I think we're going to have him come back. And, you know what, redemption because, boy, he cannot – with that legacy, he cannot undermine his entire career with that pitch because that thing's gone viral. It was truly awful, but I will invite him back and we'll try to make amends.
That is the Brewers president of baseball operations, Rick Schlesinger, yesterday on Wisconsin's afternoon news.
Jesse, has anything given you more joy during your years of doing the show than what happened Tuesday night?
Yes. Yeah, a couple of your headline songs from the great season of 2023 have given me more joy. The first time we had Frank Caliendo on the show when I was producing, and I got to do my John Gruden impression back and forth with him.
Good.
That was pretty fun. That's about it. That's
okay.
That's about those two things. This has been a wild 48-hour ride for us, and I can't imagine what you're thinking. That the Brewers president of baseball operations is now weighing in on your performance Tuesday night. This feels like this has gone to a whole new level now. Like it's one thing when we got our fans on the Facebook comments and the Twitter feed, and they're weighing in, and then even the text line yesterday, and Homer's getting after you, and Evan Cohen's getting after you. But now we've got the Brewers president of baseball operations saying that was truly awful on Tuesday night.
Yeah. No, it was awful. I don't know. I guess I'm confused what else you guys want me to say. I've had fun with it. I've also said it sucked. I was disappointed with it. So, I can sit here again and beat myself up. I'm not going to do that. I've gotten beaten up enough. So, from my perspective, yeah, it was a crappy pitch. No doubt about it. Was it the worst pitch we've ever seen? No, it's not even close. I've seen 50 Cent. I've seen Carl Lewis's. I've seen plenty of other bad throws. But somebody texted me yesterday that I hadn't talked to in a while and kind of just asked, well, what happened? And I said, well, I'm a football guy. So I guess I'm just confused. Here I am. I'm almost 50 years old. I've played in the NFL for a long time. And people expect me to still be 30 years old. Like, I'm almost 50. I guess, am I supposed to be Nolan Ryan coming out here throwing strikes? I should have done better. At some point, maybe I will take Rick up on his offer just to shut everybody up. Or I won't. I'll figure that out down the road. I'm definitely not going to be doing it anytime soon. I know that. And that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm trying to kind of piece together, all right, I'm having fun with it. We'll have fun with it. You guys can, you know, continue to bring this up and do it. That's fine. But at this point, I'm not sure what else I can possibly say. I've kind of said my piece on it, and it definitely sucked. I butchered it, and hopefully at some point I can do better. That's kind of where I'm at.
So, and you heard Rick Schlesinger there, and I think I misspoke. President of Business Operations, not Baseball Operations. That's obviously Matt Arnold. President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger, weighing in on that on Wisconsin's Afternoon News yesterday. He did say at the end of that clip he would extend the invitation for you to get a second try at this thing at some point. Have you, because that's one of the other themes we've heard from fans who have texted it. We've had some other people reach out to us. Would you consider a second go at this, either at American Family Field or in any other capacity, to try and overcome what transpired on Tuesday night?
I don't know. If I'm being honest, I don't know. I mean, it could go worse, so I don't know if it's I'll take a beat. I'll grab a meal and I'll see if that's something that I want to go do. But at this point, I would say I'm leaning towards probably not doing it. But that's, the wound is raw. So maybe that might be it. I'll take a beat. Let's watch how the rest of this World Series chase goes for the Milwaukee Brewers. And then we can, re-examine if and when I'm going to jump back in there and do it again. So I guess that would be my my answer to that.
A good night for the Brewers last night. Their second straight 9-2 win over the Los Angeles Angels. They go for the sweep tonight. The magic number is down to 6 for the Brewers to clinch the National League Central Division title, which would, in all likelihood, give them a first-round bye in the postseason, pending a disaster here where the Dodgers would be able to catch them. The Phillies could get the 1 seed, but the first-round bye looking all the more better for the Brewers as they win. And the Phillies did lose yesterday to the Dodgers as well. So that creates a little more separation for the number 1 seed at the top of the National League as well. When you look at the Brewers, and this will be the last thing we do Brewers, then we're going to go all Packers almost the rest of the show here. When you look at the Brewers here,
I think I have to excuse myself. After my debacle on Tuesday night, I kind of said I gave myself a 1-week ban on talking Brewers. So you'll have to go to Riley on this. I could just sit quietly and wait, and then I'm ready to rock with Pella when you want to throw it to me.
All right, sounds good. Riley, Riley out, because our cousin Sub of the Day producing today's show. When you look at the Milwaukee Brewers, Riley, the 1 seed, the first round by the National League Central, which is the most important threshold for the Brewers to achieve here over the next week and a half?
I think that's really easy. The National League Central Division. You cannot lose the division to the Cubs at this point. They have a 5-game lead. The magic number 6. I believe I saw yesterday. Now, with the Brewers' win yesterday, I think they'd have to go 5-6 the rest of the way, and the Cubs would have to go undefeated. If that happens, that would be absolutely abysmal. If you beat the Cubs, unless the Dodgers also go on an insane run and the Brewers win like two or three more games, you're automatically getting a bye. I really don't care if the Phillies passes for the one seed. That might actually be a good thing, because then we wouldn't run into the Phillies or the Cubs until the National League Championship Series. So I think National League Central, lock that up. Whatever happens after that, just get healthy, get ready for the playoffs.
Excellent insight, Riley. If Tausch were here to talk Brewers, I'm sure one thing he would say is he's not afraid of anybody. Bring them or fling them is something we've done with power rankings in the NFL over the years. I don't think there's anybody that we wouldn't say bring them as a Brewers fan. Like, bring it all on. Bring the Cubs, bring the Mets, bring the Phillies, bring the Dodgers, bring the Yankees, bring them all. I'm ready to see them go toe-to-toe. I'm not scared. I mean, there's always the slight hesitation as you go to the playoffs of like, oh, what if it goes wrong? Like, you know, that's going to be in the back of your mind as a Brewers fan because it's gone wrong so many times. But there's not one specific team, as there have been in years past, where I'm like, I really hope we avoid that team. That's the hot team. I can't. There's nobody that I feel that way about in this postseason. It's like, we're up for the challenge. We've shown we can sweep the Dodgers twice. We swept the Phillies and take the Cubs. Let's do it all. Can't wait for the postseason. What a fun ride this Brewers season has been. Think back to where this all started. Torpedo bats in New York in the Bronx against the Yankees and the three-game sweep at the start of the year. And since then, the Miz, the Euchre celebrations, Brandon Woodruff's return, the pursuit of burgers the first time, the actual pursuit and achievement of free burgers the second time, and now down the stretch here, pursuing a division title, potentially a number one seed, a first round bye in the National League playoffs. How lucky are we as Brewers fans this year that this is the team we get to cheer on? And I don't know how this ride is going to end for all of us, but wow, am I excited to see how this thing goes for the next week and a half and then into the month of October.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
We bring back Mark Tausch. We're done with Brewers conversation. So now you can tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, but when you see the experience and professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get zero interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
The word limited has two very different definitions for two Packers offensive linemen. That's something we learned yesterday after practice. We will talk more about that as we begin the countdown to Sunday's kickoff for the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns. We'll dive into it next on Wildy and Tausch.
I say go, baby, go, go, go.
Today, no Jason Wilde. He's back tomorrow as we continue to get set for the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns' first road contest of the 2025 season for the Green Bay Packers after starting 2-0 with wins over the Detroit Lions and Washington Commanders at Lambeau Field. One of the developments from practice yesterday, so Zach Tom and Aaron Banks on the offensive line both missed Thursday's game against Washington with different injuries. They were both listed on yesterday's injury report as limited. But as Jason Wilde writes over at channel3000.com, they're in very different places in their trajectory to potentially play on Sunday, despite being categorized the same on the injury report. Aaron Banks says, yeah, I'm good. I'll be up on Sunday. I hate not being out there. I'm good to go. Zach Tom, on the other hand, says he still has a bunch of pain when he's running that he barely participated yesterday. He just was in a couple of individual drills, no 11-on-11 work, and the staff is going to see how he feels on Sunday. Tausch, was this a thing when you played where you could be categorized as limited or questionable and be in two very different places with how that definition is for a team's injury report?
There's no doubt. I think it used to be doubtful, out, probable, and I think as it's evolved, it's pretty much everybody is questionable, and you can kind of get a good idea. Guys are very blunt now. You try and play coy. If guys are playing coy, that usually means they're not playing. And when someone comes out and tells you they're playing, they're probably playing. And in essence, what I've heard from, you know, both Aaron Banks and Zach Tom, Aaron Banks is going to play. Zach Tom's probably not. Now, things can change. There's still, you know, 2 or 3 days before you end up going, you know, before you end up flying out to Cleveland and try and figure it out. But just listening to the tea leaves and kind of seeing how it's shaking out, it looks as if Aaron Banks is going to play and Zach Tom's not. And if you can get one guy back, all of a sudden, now you put Jordan Morgan into a unique scenario, because is he going to prep and practice more to play right tackle, or is he going to have to continue to do left guard and you let Belton get reps? That, to me, is the more interesting part of this, because if Zach Tom can play, he's going to be limited. I mean, he said he can't run yet. Well, you don't have to be a world-class sprinter, but if you can't run, that typically means you can't do the necessary things to block a Myles Garrett 35, you know, however many pass protections and everything else that you're going to be going against. So that would be my guess. And, you know, to answer your question, yeah, you look at it and you try and figure out who can play, what they can give you, and then plan accordingly so you can get these other guys prepped when and if they need to go in and play.
The 2017 and 18 seasons, I get kind of confused which was which, because they both kind of played out in the end the same way. Aaron Rodgers got hurt in one of them, and McCarthy got fired near the end of the other one, but both were kind of underwhelming seasons. But one of those seasons was the last time that the Packers, I thought, really had like a problem on the offensive line. It feels like no matter every, and you got you and Bulaga and JC, you break this down every Wednesday and you dive into the offensive line and all offseason. I don't know, how is this going to play out? Is Elton moving and all these different questions on the offensive line? And it always seems like it's just fine. Like, it ends up being not a non-issue when you're watching the games on Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays and whenever else. Like, it just always seems like that's one of the last things anyone thinks about for the Green Bay Packers in the last, what, decade and a half, 2 decades? Because it just seems like everything is always steady and always good. I never really think twice about the offensive line unless they're obviously getting destroyed in a game. You're like, oh, what's going on there? The Eagles game last year is a good example of that. So, is there any cause for concern going into Sunday against Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns, knowing you'll probably be down at least one offensive lineman? And even with the questions of who's going to play, is it Belton? Is it Jordan Morin? What are they going to do? I just feel like until I see that it's a problem, it's going to be fine, because that's just the way it typically works for the Green Bay Packers. Is that a flawed logic to approach that question with for this Sunday?
Yeah, it's flawed, but
the
way that this game is going to go, Myles Garrett, regardless, Zach Tom's a really good player. Myles Garrett is Micah Parsons-esque. Like, they're both complete difference makers, and if you don't account for them, they can wreck your game. And in a Cleveland team, I personally don't think Green Bay's defense is overly concerned about any of what Cleveland has to offer. Maybe their run game, you know, I think their O-line's okay. Maybe that's in the fact that Joe Flacco is a veteran and knows and sees everything, can maybe get rid of the football. I don't think they're looking at this as a game that they're going to have to put up a 30-burger to win. I think they need to look at this and say, you know, the only way Cleveland is going to be able to do anything to hurt Green Bay is by Myles Garrett making plays. Stracks and, you know, tipped balls and, you know, pressures and sacks and things like that. So it's going to be concerning regardless. And if you have to put Belton, or if it's going to be Kennard, or if it's going to be Jordan Morgan, you need to make sure you have help and are willing to go and make sure Myles Garrett doesn't wreck your game. If somebody else does, you tip the cap and you kind of move, but you don't let Myles Garrett do it. So is it a flawed logic to say, well, it doesn't matter who's out there? You feel better if it's your preferred starter, but that doesn't mean you're not going to give them help too and try and limit what kind of damage these guys can do.
One of the other injury developments yesterday, at least from the injury report, that happened yesterday too. We'll have to see what's going on back there. I feel bad for Riley. One of the other developments on the injury report yesterday, Micah Parsons not listed with any limitations. So I guess that back injury has gone away and that he's going to be good to go
now.
It, so.
And he's played a ton of snaps. He's actually played a lot more than I thought through 2 weeks. And it wasn't because I thought his back was terrible. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, act like I know how his back is. He knows that. How much of that was contractual? None of us are ever going to really know other than Micah and his representatives. But the fact that he is cleared of all that and you feel really good, he's, you know, shoot, 2 weeks ago we were sitting here talking about guys getting epidurals and what that meant, and we had a veterinarian call in to explain what that meant. Like, think about how far that feels, and the fact that we're only 3 weeks to the day. I think today's Thursday, right? 3 weeks to the day that Micah Parsons was traded, and he's already been dominant and helped this defense become what I think is one of the best we've had since 96. And epidurals, going to have to get shots. How much are you going to be able to play? To 2 weeks later, he's cleared, he's a full go, and he's ready to rock going into Cleveland. I think all of that just kind of summarizes how fast things happen in this league.
Tim in Oregon on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talking text line at 844-770-3776. 50 is the only number for a 50 burger, not a 30 burger or a 40 burger.
Listen, Tim, I get it. You could say 50 burger, you could say 40 burger. I don't think you can say 20 burger, but when it's the Cleveland Browns offense, 30 burger is in play. Because a 30 burger to the Browns is a 50 burger to the Packers. So I know that we have to get all of these charts out and let you know. So Dallas would be, I think, in the same boat offensively. But if you're playing Dallas's defense, you'd have to get to a 60 burger to equate to a 50 burger versus the Browns. There's equitative processes with all of this. How good the defense is compared to how good their offense is, and what you need to dominate a game. I believe a 30-burger gets it done in a big way this week. I don't think that the Browns are going to get out of the teens. And as a matter of fact, I think this is a game ripe. If Green Bay doesn't turn it over, I think this game is ripe for a shutout or a single-digit game from this defense. That's what I am thinking much more than anybody getting to a 30-burger or a 20-burger from the Cleveland Browns.
So yesterday we discovered the ASS metrics, which is for separation for wide receivers. Today we've got what the TB at Tausch's burger metrics is what we want to call this for.
That wasn't mine. It was Tim's. My burger metrics are what they are.
You're elaborating though with the relative burger advanced analytics with the 60 burger.
Well,
on
I agree
Dallas's
with
defense.
I agree with Tim's assessment. Like a big score in the NFL is 40 plus. Like a lot of teams score 30. Not a lot of teams score 40. And if you get to 50, that is a burger. So I tend to agree with Tim on his basic premise of it. But when I look back and say, well, against this team with what offensive limited ability they have, a 30-burger, because if you win by 20, is what I consider a beaten in the NFL. If you win by 17-plus, that's a big, fat W. Three scores is a big, fat W. And what does it take to get to that? That's usually when I burgerize things, if that makes any sense to you.
I don't know if we measure anything Kohler Services does. A Kohler burger, a shower burger, I've heard of a shower beer. I don't know about a shower burger. Tell us about Kohler Services.
Yeah, I will. A refreshing offer, not talking about Jesse showering, but just getting a new shower or bath remodel from Kohler Services. And this month only, you get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel and zero interest financing for 12 months. My friend Chris from Oosper, one of their skilled installers, he demos your existing bath or shower, removes it. I've seen it. We've lived it. And then you dispose it before you install that brand new dream shower from Kohler Services. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
Oh, now they're saying, but the Brewers had a 13 burger a week or two ago. So now does baseball have burgers? And what's a 12 burger, a 13 burger?
I'm not talking baseball for a week, Jesse. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Riley,
self-imposed punishment.
Yep, that's
for
fair.
The pitch. I'm giving myself a week ban. So next Wednesday, we can discuss all the baseball you want. But until then, you keep asking me these questions. You know the rules that I think is a fair punishment for my poor performance.
You're going to miss a lot of good stuff in the next week. Riley, what's the threshold for a burger in baseball?
I think a 7 burger. If you win 10-3, 9-2 like the Brewers did the past couple of nights, that's
well,
a
I'd
big
love
old
to
burger.
Chime in here because I do have thoughts, but I can't.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Disappointing. And I mean, baseball already has a whoa bacon stat. They need to come up with the whoa burger stat next.
What's a whoa bacon?
I don't know. It's something batting average on, like, I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll have it for you next segment.
B-A-C-O-N is a, yes. is a stat.
Yeah, bacon is a stat.
That's pretty fantastic.
Now we need a burger stat.
I did not know that. Speaking of the offensive line, so we're talking Aaron Banks, we're talking Zach Tom. Someone else on the Green Bay Packers offensive line said something that Tausch passed along this morning, and I think it's going to be very interesting to dive into what the reaction may be to this commentary. We will hear which offensive lineman said what about the trajectory of this Green Bay Packers season. Coming up next, it's Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. Well, I'm looking at the YouTube comments. I was hoping to see more people commenting on Tausch's first pitch from last night. And instead, I get Mike. Can we get Riley or Hunter or Will to permanently produce this show? I'd even take Strofe.
Wow.
That hurts, Mike. No is the answer, as far as I know. Jesse and Tausch today on Wilde and Tausch. Jason Wilde off today. He will be back tomorrow as we continue the countdown to Packers-Browns coming up Sunday in Cleveland. First road game of the year for the Green Bay Packers. So, it feels kind of taboo to be a player on an active NFL roster and after two games speculate on what your season win total will be.
No, I'd agree.
But that happened yesterday up in Titletown. Let's play it for you. Here is Rashid Walker yesterday on how he thinks the Packers will fare throughout the rest of this season.
I feel like it's been clicking. I feel like we've been playing pretty clean. As a team, out of the fact, we've been playing pretty clean. But as far as the offense, I feel like O-line's been doing good. Jordan Love's been playing phenomenally. I mean, we all just been playing and seeing executing. That's why we're 2-0 right now. And then the goal is to, you know, keep it going. But I think we can go undefeated, honestly.
I mean, I love it. Like, I think Rashid Walker speaks on behalf of all Packers fans. Yeah, two games. We crushed Detroit. We crushed Washington. We're playing Cleveland and Dallas. Yeah, feels like. We're the best team in the NFL after 2 weeks. We got the two best wins, and it feels like we can go undefeated. Absolutely. I love it. And we all think it, but it is different coming from an offensive lineman actually on the team than it is coming from someone calling into the Green Bay game night post-game show after the win on Sunday. Does it not feel that way, Tausch?
Well, I think, you know, it's just a different era. Like guys have social media. Guys have their own personal brands. I could never imagine myself saying that. Now, I don't believe we ever had a team that was probably this talented as, you know, the team that this group is, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Like I really think this defense has a chance to be as good as the '96 defense. But I would have never. And unfortunately, for a lot of my career, we lost a lot early in seasons. We were 1-4 a couple of different times. I think we had the one season in 07 that we got off to a really fast start. We were like 10-1. But I would have never, ever said what Rashid did yesterday because you're putting a big old bullseye out there. But you believe it. Every player, when they start the season, believes they're going to go undefeated. Now, there's guys that are rational and saying, yeah, at Baltimore, it's going to be a tough game. or at Denver is going to be a tough game, or you know, some of the better teams if you have a road game. But you're looking, I thought every time we played at Lambeau Field, we'd win. I didn't care who we played. I legitimately thought we'd always go undefeated at home. And Brett Favre would say back in the old days, you go undefeated at home and split on the road, you're a one seed. That was the goal. That was the NFL goal. The NFL is really hard, and it has a really fun way of humbling you. And not to say this will be the week that you get humbled, but games humble you. There's, you know, the Packers 13-0 going to Kansas, a bad Kansas City team, the year after we won the Super Bowl. They got humbled, and then they didn't win a championship. The New England Patriots went 16-0, and then they got humbled in the Super Bowl, leaving it probably as painful of a loss as every one of those players have ever had, even though the rest of their season was perfect. So I don't have any problem with Sheed saying it. I don't know how Matt LaFleur views it, but you want your guys confident. And by the way, I don't think this is as outlandish of a statement when you start looking at the schedule. I don't think, just for the record, I don't believe they'll go undefeated, but I'll be shocked if they're not 14 or 15 wins. I will be. Because the schedule, the way it lines up, you're not, I will, at Detroit, right now, if you had to say, what are the games you're most worried about for the Sheed Walker premonition to not come true? I'll tell you, the top of my list is at Denver. Then I would say Philadelphia, at Detroit, and probably Baltimore. Those are your four games, and I would think at worst we'll split in those four. Legit, tell me the other games you're uber worried about right now. If this team, there's the caveat that there always is, if this team stays healthy, those four games, tell me the other games you're uber concerned about.
Yeah, so you're assuming all teams at full strength. We're not assuming there's going to be any like big trade.
Let me tell you
something.
Cincinnati ain't gonna. Cincinnati was a game I thought you could get in a shootout, even though I thought Burrow would get killed because of our pass rush. He ain't playing. That game went from super intriguing to I think we're going to throttle the you know what out of him. So that is that's already baked into the cake. Now Pittsburgh, I think with emotions. If you wanted to add Pittsburgh in, I've watched their defense. Their defense is not good right now. They'll flip it and they'll get better. But that would be another game I'd add. I'm not adding any more home games. I know that.
So
tell me where Sheed's crazy. I don't think he's as crazy as you think.
The four games that you mentioned, I think, are the four. Pittsburgh I would include in there because anytime, I don't care how bad the Steelers are or what they look like, you go play a night game in Pittsburgh, a Sunday night football, like that's going to be a tough place to go play. It just is. I'm sure teams feel the same way no matter what the Packers record is. You play a primetime game at Lambeau Field, you just feel like it's going to be a tough game no matter what the team is doing. So that's the way I feel about that Pittsburgh game, plus the emotions with the Rodgers, you know, component of it. Dr. Denver Dan in the YouTube comments says this. What's Sheed supposed to say? No, I think we're going to lose seven because of this guy. He wasn't asked, hey, do you think you're going to go undefeated this year?
Nobody asked.
He just casually just kind of tossed it up for everyone. I'm going to go undefeated this year.
that's the interesting part is there was no, like, Sheed. Who's going to beat you guys this year? Because then you could understand, like, listen, man, I think we're really good, and we're nobody's underdog in any of these games. I don't know how many games they're going to be underdogs in. Maybe at Detroit? I don't know if people are viewing Denver the way I view them. I think that their defense, even though it struggled a little bit early, I think they'll get it righted, and Sean Payton's a really good coach. I don't know if Green Bay is going to be an underdog in any game the rest of the season. I somebody can look it up. I'm not going to. I think that there's a good chance they're favored the rest of the way.
Based on how they've started, I would not be surprised. Now, if they stumble at some point and, I don't know, let's play a hypothetical with me. They go to Arizona and they have a clunker and they lose at Arizona in October. Then maybe Philadelphia a couple weeks later is listed as like a one-point favorite at Lambeau if they're undefeated or wherever they might be at that point in the season. But I agree with you. I think right now, just like I said in the opening segment about the Brewers, you can't talk Brewers, so I won't go down that road with you. But there's no team in the playoffs where I'm like, I'm scared to play that team. I don't know if the Brewers would be expected to lose to that team in a seven-game series or whatever. I don't think there's any team right now that the Packers wouldn't be favored against in any capacity. Neutral site, road game, home game. Like, maybe at Philly would be the one that you'd be like, oh, I don't know, they might not be favored in that one. At Buffalo, if they were to ever do that, which they're not scheduled this year, so it doesn't matter. Neutral site, if they play Buffalo in the Super Bowl right now, would the Packers be favored? I would think it'd be very close, but I'd guess yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree with you. Like, I love the confidence from Rashid Walker. I love the confidence for that all of us are thinking. Is it possible we're getting to the point now because we played last Thursday, it's been an extra long week, getting ready for Cleveland, it's not exactly a game that you have to feel like, all right, this is a big, massive, you know, it doesn't have the same weight that Detroit and Washington did out of the gates. Is it possible this is just more overconfidence and we're living in the moment almost too much here, and now it's starting to seep its way into the locker room also with guys saying they think they can go undefeated?
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that's kind of how this business
works. I'm glad we see it that way.
Sheed threw us a bone, and I appreciate Sheed throwing us a bone, that this is something that's in his mind, and now we'll get into kind of the Packers Twitterverse for a day, and then we'll move on. So I don't know if a lot of the other guys are thinking this way. I guarantee you the coaches, if they're asked, will say absolutely not. It's a day by day, a week by week, blah, 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 blah. But what this does tell you is the confidence in that locker room has never been higher. I haven't heard – when have you ever heard someone after 2 weeks in a locker room make a statement like this? I haven't. And in the same respect, I haven't seen a Packers defense dominate two really good offenses the way that they did and the way that they really affected two really good quarterbacks. So there's always this – you kind of lean on – if you're playing a team with a average to below average quarterback, you can always say, well, that's not the reality of what you're going to see when it gets to be the money time. Those two teams are. And you thoroughly dominated both. That's where that confidence comes from, and that's where you can get a Sheed Walker, Sheedo, talking about potentially who's going to beat us. And it's not crazy talk. Where most of the times, if it is, you would say, well, what the? I'm not going to say, Sheed, you're nuts. I'm going to say, I disagree. I think you're going to lose a game or two. But I'm going to tell you this. I know Hard Rock Casino Rockford, we were in at 9.5. I couldn't feel more. I wish we would have done more as I'm sitting here today. I wish we wouldn't have even jumbled any of the other stuff and just said, yeah, let's go here, because that, to me, even with injuries now, I feel really good about.
9.5 was the exactly line back on June 18th when we put that wager in. As of Saturday night when I was at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, 11.5 is the new over-under win total for the Packers this season after winning the first two games. Last thing on this before we move on from the undefeated statement from Rashid Walker. Do you think he's going to be talked to by anybody saying, hey, let's maybe not say that at the locker room availability the rest of the way?
Yes. I do think there'll be a helpful, hey, man, I appreciate your confidence. We don't need to throw this out into the stratosphere on the 18th of September. Let's take a beat. Let's get through a few more games. But I think in the grand scheme, I think that's – you want your locker room feeling this confident. You just don't want them to portray it out in the public square like Sheedo did.
I'll tell you this much, Tausch. The Coors Lights were tasting good when the Packers were 1-0. They were tasting better when they were 2-0. And if they were 17-0, oh, wow, would that be a fun time come January.
Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, and you just need a moment to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Make sure, because it's still warm out. 80-plus the last stretch here. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Jordan Love appeared on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio earlier this week. We're going to hear some of what he said in a quick round of Did You Hear This? That's coming up next on Wilde and Tausch. That if Jason was here, I don't think he would say. I don't find everything Jordan Love says to be very interesting.
You think he's boring?
I think he's very boring. Yeah. I think he does it on purpose.
You think he is that by design? Because he's a quarterback and he understands his words carry a lot of power? Or do you think he's just a boring dude?
I think he's just kind of boring. He's very focused. He's dialed in. Seems like a nice guy. We were up close with him at the AmFam Championship this year. Been around him a couple of times. I think he's a nice guy. I just think he's kind of boring. But
isn't that something? Because y'all, when Rodgers was in his drama and always in the news, everybody complained that he's too dramatic and everything else. And now Jordan Love is a worker, he's a leader, and he's boring, and y'all are complaining about him being boring. Because I've heard this from other media folks,
too. I'm not complaining that he's boring. I'm just saying I think
he is
boring.
Riley, did it sound like he was complaining?
It did sound a little gripish.
Gripe?
Yeah, like,
no.
He's boring.
Just not.
I don't think what he said. Jesse, what you basically said here was, we're going to play this audio. It sucks. I'm bored by it, but I don't find everything he says interesting like Jason fakes like he does. That's what you basically said.
So we get these batches of audio clips come around from every media availability or appearance. And when Rodgers did, his locker room press conferences, his post-game press
Rodgers
conferences.
Rodgers always said something interesting, and we'd have to respond. And you guys got annoyed by that, too.
But now I get the Jordan Love one.
What do you guys want? Just for the record. Listen, I analyze. I analyze.
Yeah, you're an analyst.
You give me something. I'll analyze it. If I think it sucks, I'll say it sucks and we move on. You guys are always, I got to listen to McAfee because Rodgers is on. Oh, now Jordan Love is on. What do you want? What do you want from your quarterback? Just say something interesting once a year? Or do you want it to be, what are you looking for from your starting quarterback?
I don't know. Something that.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know what
You've
I'm looking for.
You've been doing this 8 years. What do you mean you don't know?
Now I am in Wildy's turn. I don't know.
That's funny.
I want something. I don't like. I don't like generic. Cliche talk. So I don't mind if you don't say something interesting, but I don't want I could write the script a lot of times that I think Jordan Love is going to say and get pretty close to it. He's very...
I think what would be a fun game is Jason tells you next time he's going to ask Jordan a question. You guys get that set up, and then you write the script out, and we'll see how close you are.
That's actually a great game. Let's play that. Next time, Jason will say, here's the question I asked Jordan Love, and then I will write a script thinking or predicting what the answer is.
Yep.
And then we'll compare it to what Jordan Love actually says.
And by the way, for a leader of an organization like Jordan is, if I'm the president of the org, if I'm Ed Policy, that is exactly what I want. I don't want guys going off on aliens and I don't mind it in the off season. If you want to go do that stuff, that's fine. I found from a media standpoint, I find it much more interesting that you can jump into that stuff. But from an organizational standpoint, this is what I want, is what Jordan Love does.
So, okay, we're going to bypass the game, Did You Hear This? But here's what I want to do. I'm going to play one, maybe two clips here. So, Riley, let's play this one. Jordan Love was asked during his appearance on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week.
We do have the chance to actually stay on the clock. It's 10:02. You could. Well, then we could tell Jason, we actually are on the clock. But you go ahead.
We're not going to do that. Come on. Okay. There's something I want to get after Domovsky for before
Riley,
he comes
just
on.
Just for
with
the
us.
Record, I want to make sure because Jesse kills me all the time.
Yep.
About not being on the clock, saying it's my fault. I just want to let for the record, make sure we put this on the docket.
It is on the docket. It is marked and ready to be cut and used in the future.
Hand up. This is on me for continuing. Although, the more you talk about us not being on the clock, the further off the clock we are, which is quite the situation to be in.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Jordan Love was asked during his appearance on the Rich Eisen Show what his expectations are in year three as the Packers' starting quarterback. Here is how Jordan Love answered that question.
Going into year three as a starter, I've learned so much and been building up and taking every rep and just learning from it and growing. And so I think this year, you know, not just me, but the team we have, the offense we got, the weapons we have around us, the O-line, you know, the running back with Josh Jacobs. So we got weapons, and I think we've all been building this thing together and, you know, learning about each other, learning how we can evolve as an offense. So, you know, I've been saying it, the sky's the limit, but it always comes down to going out there and performing on Sundays. And I think the way we started the season on offense, we've been doing a great job, and I think there's still the fun part about it is there's still plays that we haven't hit on, some really big explosive plays that once we start hitting those, we're going to take off, be running. So I'm excited, I feel good, I feel confident, and I got a lot of playmakers around me, so we got to keep going out there and making it happen on Sundays.
All right, so I got five or six cliches in there, but also he said there's a lot of big plays they haven't hit on yet. That's interesting. That's what I want from my quarterback. That's the clip that I want.
Yeah, not everything is going to be a world setting, whatever it is. Like, find the clips that you think are interesting and then talk about those.
And that's what that one was.
I agree. He does speak a lot of coach talk. It's up to the journalist and the media to try to find a different angle that is unique. And Rich did a great job. I don't even know what question he asked. But Jordan, to say that, I think that's been kind of the... You know, I think what he's referring to is Matthew Golden. He's hit on some other plays. Obviously, he's hit some big plays to Tucker and Romeo, the guys that he has had a lot of history with and a lot of chemistry built up. I think what he's saying without saying and how you decipher it is Matthew Golden is getting open. The ASS deal that we talked about yesterday, he sees that. They know that. And now all of a sudden, maybe he's going to look and say, well, they're going to have to start covering Kraft more. Romeo, they know he's kind of my guy. Who is going to be that emerging guy that can alleviate some of the pressure off of those guys? And the answer is going to be Matthew Golden. So that, to me, is what you're looking for. And then you throw in a bunch of canned cliche coach talk. That's how I want my quarterback of a professional team to talk.
He said two other things on Rich Eisen's show earlier this week, but it was kind of boring, so I think we're going to move on.
Okay, also, Jesse, why would you have an issue with Jordan Love being boring when you have Jaden Reed saying on live the Packers are going to the Super Bowl, Rasheed Walker saying the Packers are going undefeated? Let the other players be interested.
I don't have an issue with Jordan Love being boring. I'm just stating I think he is boring. That's okay. Tim in Oregon texts in, Joe Montana was apparently boring in interviews. I don't know if that was true or not. Tausch, do you know growing up, like, was Joe Montana boring? I don't know.
I don't know. He has that fun clip where he's calling his wife from the sideline phone. That's fun. I don't think that's boring. I have no clue to what degree he, you know, was saying inflammatory things or saying provocative stuff. The media was a lot different than it is now.
Tom Brady was boring when he was with the Patriots, and then he went to Tampa and suddenly he wasn't boring. It is, you know,
exactly.
Comes and goes for everybody. So I have no issue with Jordan Love being boring. I just wanted to state for the record, I think he is boring a lot of the time. That's all. Okay. And that's why we didn't do a full route of Did You Hear This from Jordan Love on the Rich Eisen Show. But you can go back and find the full conversation on the Rich Eisen Show on the ESPN app. Coming up next, before we get to ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domovsky, scheduled to appear coming up at 10:15, ESPN's NFL Nation shared their quarterback takeaways from the first 2 weeks of the season. I want to see if Tausch agrees with what Rob Domovsky's takeaway on Jordan Love. Not my takeaway that he's boring. Whatever Rob said about his play on the field is. We'll do that to start the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. Oh, we're a little behind. Go figure. It's Wildy and Tausch.